We're in a series on the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Would you take your Bibles, please? And I'd like you all to open up your scriptures this morning. I've got a lot of overheads, but there's a section of scripture that I want you to see out of your own Bible. I'm reading from the New King James, and we have Bibles in the back, should you need them. And in a nod to our age and who we are in this place, they're large print Bibles. But if you'd like a Bible, you're more than welcome. Please get one. We'd like you to see 1 Corinthians, easy for you to say, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. Anyone need a Bible? Okay, very good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as you get there, I've got a few things to do before we actually go to that section of Scripture. We spoke a little bit last week. I had run my hand along a door jamb and caught a bunch of slivers. Let me carry on with that theme. Have you ever smashed your thumb with a hammer? Never. I thought I got the right group. Just really smashed that thing, and maybe even the nail fell off, that thumb turned black and blue. You smashed your head with a hammer? Oh, he smashed his thumb with a... Oh, ouch! Oh, you got a nail in your head. Okay. A car... Oh, nothing worse than a car door. Who else? You've smashed something, right? How about you get up in the middle of the night, and none of us know what that's about, but when you get up in the middle of the night and you just literally smash that toe against the door or... Just did it last night, and then you're yelling, and you wonder why you forget even the reason why you got up. Actually, no, still have to do that, and you have a foot that hurts to boot. I was up several years ago at Pastor Carl and Pastor Jerry's Lake Place, and we were carrying some brush out with some people, and bless the Lord, I was walking along, and I say this so nicely now. Bless the Lord, I was walking along. And I was talking to my buddy, and bam, hit my head. If you know me, I hate to hit my head. And so I'm walking along, ow, 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 ow. Of course, you know me, I'm a wimp. So I'm yelling, oh, ow. And then I go back down, I finish taking the brush up where I needed to, and then I go back down, get some more, and I'm talking to my buddy, and I'm protecting myself this time, bam, hit my head again. You cannot believe it. I mean, I was fit to be tied. That's a true story. I was fit to be tied. And I told my friend, I said, I'll tell you what, that is not going to happen to me again. You get me once, okay. Get me twice, that's really stupidity on my part. That's not happening again. Bam! Hit my head the third time as I was talking about it. You know, at that moment, my body had no division. Every member of my body was yelling, ouch! No disharmony. No division. No doing of a separate thing somewhere. Every member hurt because one member hurt. That's the way it is in the body of Christ, isn't it? One hurts, every member hurts. One rejoices, every member rejoices. There are, of course, complications in some bodies, but mostly our bodies work in harmony to the purpose. You know, you want to go somewhere, you get up and you walk in that direction, and my body doesn't move as svelte and petite as it used to, but it still moves, thank God. Get up every morning with a new day. But we all love our bodies, don't we? Three people are honest. We all love our bodies. We may not be proud of our bodies, but we love our bodies. Maybe a big difference there. Okay, I got everybody. Okay, all right, I can acknowledge that one. You just think of, talk about somebody that wants to cover up his imperfections because he loves himself. You ever consider Donald Trump's comb over? Hiding, trying to hide the fact which the whole world knows he's balding? Why does he do that? We take care of us. Husbands, That's how you're to take care of your wife, as Christ loved the church. Wives, respect your husbands, as to Jesus. Love covers a multitude of sins. Let's go through a few scriptures that we have this morning. And we'll begin with Galatians 5:14. These I have up on top, or up in the overhead. Galatians 5:14, reading from the New King James. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Please read it with me. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the second part of verse 26 says, please read it with me, let all things be done for edification. Now last week, we were referring to a section of scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to read it again, even though there are several scriptures here, because the last part deals again with the subject on which we are speaking. Ephesians 4:11 through 16, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Didn't see a comma there, did you? Equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, for the what?
Edifying.
Say it real loud one more time. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. By what every joint supplies. Does that include you? Look at your neighbor, say, that includes you, hot stuff. By what every joint supplies. See, we got to be an encouraging congregation. So we encourage each other. Hey, do you know, when you go tell people how church was today, they called me hot stuff in church today. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth, or causes growth of the body. Say the last phrase with me, for the edifying of itself in love. Now before we go to 1 Corinthians 12, I want to talk about an overarching perspective of four chapters out of Corinthians. Then I'm going to speak a little bit about Corinthians, and we really are still in a gift series, a spiritual gift. The body of Christ, the body, is the context of 1 Corinthians chapters 11 through 14. If you stand back a little bit, you know, sometimes we just go through the scriptures and we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we do our communion service, and then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and we learn about the gifts of the Spirit. And then we go into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is on everyone's poster because it's all about all you need is love. Anyway, it's better than the Beatles. Love is all you need. That's right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love. And then you go back to 1 Corinthians 14 and it's more about the gifts. When you step back and take a look, there's an overarching perspective to the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are all in the context of the body edifying and loving itself. The body of Christ is to be a place of loving, encouragement, edification, exhortation, and comfort. The body, we care for our bodies. And the overarching perspective for 1 Corinthians chapter 11 through 14 is it's the body. That's why it goes communion. They were having trouble in their communion feast. They called them the love feasts. And they were having division and schism. And the rich ones were going and eating and drinking early. And some were overindulging and getting drunk. And Paul says, look, this is not what communion is all about. Do this and remember it so you have the communion. But it's not detached because you get the right heart attitude of love. Then you go into chapter 12 and you understand the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit are all about loving Jesus and loving each other. And then you come into further testimony of it because he goes through the gifts of the Spirit and he says, oh, hey, but I got something better to talk to you about, 1 Corinthians 13, love. And then he goes back in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, now that you've got that whole context, I want you to understand prophecy and speaking in tongues and how it is ministered in the body of Christ, because after all, we're loving each other. Does that make sense? There's a context there. Corinth, let's talk about it. The whole issue of what Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we take teaching from is set in a context. What did he run into when he was in Corinth? Let's go to the map, if you would, please. What did he run into when he was in Corinth? Corinth is, of course, over here. And Paul, on his missionary or apostolic journey, ran into certain people, a certain lifestyle, a certain perspective. And their perspective and their lifestyle affected everything he taught and why he taught it. Now, this is Greece's most accomplished and prominent city in Paul's day. There was a connecting, a narrow isthmus that you can see connecting these locations. And as such, it was one of the most important trade routes, one of the richest areas in the known world at that time. This is four, some say 5 miles across. And if you've ever heard of the Docos Road, they used to take the ships and cargo, come in here and carry them across on a large road that was 4 to 5 miles long to come through this way. Because if they came down this way over the Cape or past the Cape, these waters were treacherous. And they would end up going and drowning and losing their cargoes and everything. And so instead of trying to brave this route, they would pay big money to go across the isthmus and on over into the Adriatic Sea. It took hundreds and hundreds of years to build, finally, a canal. There is a canal there now. But if you go back in antiquity, they began that canal hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And they were never able to finish it until the late 1800s. The late 1800s, they finally, once dynamite was invented, they finally were able to blast out the rock and get this huge canal through. But this was an important route. It was a crucial route. It was very wealthy. It would come into times of favor and times of disfavor. It was one of the most opulent places in Greece. And in fact, one of the statements of Corinth was, not every man can live there because of the cost of living in Greece. Now, it was also a seaport community. And because it was a seaport community, there were lots and lots of sailors living there. And what do sailors like to do? I'm hearing several things. All right, you sailors in the room. True confession. Drink, carouse. There were temples. This was a place of fantastic, wrong word, horrible, better word, idolatry. In Paul's day, there were already standing at least 26 temples to different cults. There was one temple that is said to have had 1,000 prostitutes for their purposes. And thousands of sailors were in this community. And in fact, the lecherousness and the sexual sin that took place was so rampant in Corinth that the phrase became known as to Corinthianize. And it was because of what was taking place in this community. And this is what Paul is running into as he takes a mostly Gentile group of people who builds the church and begins to not only get Jesus into them, but has to work hard on getting Corinth out of them. How many know that you have to put off sin and put on Christ? Amen. Oh, you're looking so holy, like none of you ever had any trouble with sin. Anybody ever had trouble with sin? Yeah. All right, I want you to break into groups of four, tell each other. No, I'm kidding. Okay, and in closing, let's go back to being hot stuff, okay? But sometimes the work of the Holy Spirit, you guys, it's a fantastic moment when you give your life to Jesus. Absolutely fantastic. Pastor Sherry spoke of that. Covenant surrender to Jesus. He gets our whole life. How many of you understand that it takes the rest of our life to work out that maturing, perfecting process? Because His goal is to make us just like Jesus. Are you there yet? But you're getting there, aren't you? Because after all, you're a good-looking, hot group of people. No, but I'm looking at a group of people who want the Lord to work with them. That's our heart. And so that's why when you come to church on Sunday morning, Pastor Kev doesn't just preach some fluff, although you might like me to sometimes. But we have to go to the Scripture and say, okay, Lord, I don't just want Jesus in. I got to get Corinth out. So keep working with me. So Corinth is a strategic location. And the Isthmian Games, similar to the Olympic Games, they were held every 2 years, celebrated just outside the city, a terrifically wealthy seaport. And there was one other thing, and I told you some about it before, and I want to tell you about it again. One other thing that took place, and all of this is context for what we're going to read in the Scriptures as we go through Corinth and ensuing weeks and months as we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. But the one other thing, how many remember or have ever heard of the Oracle of Delphi? The Oracle of Delphi. When we talked about the book of Acts, we spoke about the Oracle of Delphi. Just across from Corinth was a major attraction, one of the major attractions of the ancient world. A female priestess presided over a massive stone temple, and she delivered answers to those who were seeking guidance from Apollo on everything from romance to waging war. Prophetess, about 55 years of age, would receive a question written on a lead tablet. She would then descend to the basement of this temple and breathe in the fumes. Years later, even recently, they have discovered this area continues to give off these same fumes. And it was an ethylene fume that got this priestess stoned. And then she would, in her trance or stone state, begin to speak some babbling. And two or other priests upstairs from where she would interpret her babblings. And they were vague prophecies, just vague enough to where you could take encouragement in whatever direction you wanted. This went on for 12 centuries. That's why Paul, 40 miles away, teaches a Corinthian church about God's kind of tongues with interpretation. And you will see shortly, one of the verses says, speaking by the Spirit of the Lord, you cannot call Jesus accursed. They were used to other tongues and babblings and interpretations, demonically inspired, where people would call Jesus, the Son of the living God, accursed. How many of you understand spiritual warfare isn't just for today? It was for that day as well. And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so Paul taught the true. And there's a context for why. Doesn't that help? It's an incredible context. So Paul's church in Corinth is full of former pagans, some of whom still believed it was their right to go visit the temple prostitutes. And Paul says, wait a minute, you have sexual fornication and idolatry and immorality in your congregation. Get Corinth out. Get Jesus in. That's why Paul's letters deal with the subjects that he deals with to Corinth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I'm going to take my liberty, and I don't normally read this much Scripture, but it's giving us a context for where we're heading, not just today, but in the next several weeks. Watch what the Scripture says. Verse 1, and I don't even have it up there because I want you to see it in your own Bible, please. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And that, by the way, is the verse for years been called the old maid's verse, because King James says, I would not want you ignorant, brethren. That was a joke that bombed. You'll get that later, maybe. I don't want you ignorant, brethren. All right. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away by these dumb idols, mute, silent idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Church, is Jesus Lord?
Yes.
Say it with me. Jesus is Lord. You believe that?
Yes.
Without question. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit, is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to what? I'm sorry, please say that. Distributing to? One individually, to each one. I'm sorry, do you see in there a disclaimer that says you're not included? Come on, is it in your marginal notes? Look in your margins. It says you're included. You're included to each one as He wills, as Jesus wills. He has a body. He loves His body. He loves His church. The only thing we find Jesus builds is, I will build my church. He loves His church, and so He distributes gifts so everyone is involved and everyone is blessed. For as the body is one and has many members, verse 12, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. You see the body context? For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Now watch this, and I love this section as well. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Have you ever in your life been jealous of anyone? And then discovered that jealousy was stupid? They're not so hot as they think. Or they're not so hot as you think. Now, that's nobody in this room, because remember, this morning, you're all hot. Okay. But I'm not of the hand. Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now, God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as, where are we? He pleased. Verse 18. That's verse 18. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor again the head to the feet, I don't need you. There was a problem in the church of Corinth. I'm just going to speak about it for the moment. There were some really wealthy people, and there were a lot of average people not wealthy at all. And the carnality of human hearts created a division. And they wanted to pursue and hang out with the rich folk, not with the poor folk. But Paul's saying, you all need each other. It doesn't matter your status of life. What matters is Jesus in your heart. We all need each other. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be the weaker are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. And of course, he's very simply referring to the sexual parts of our body there. There's greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Look at why. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care. for one another. If one member suffers, please read this verse with me, verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, if you are the body of Christ, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings, help, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now, I want you to boom out verse 31 with me. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, there are several things as we look at the gifts of the Spirit we need to have an understanding of. It doesn't just skip by the gifts of the Spirit and say, it's not important, love is the only thing that is important. It doesn't say that. What you just read was, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. I want these working in your midst, the apostle says. Jesus wants the gifts of the Spirit freely flowing. He just wants them moving correctly. In love. Blessing the body. Not see me, I've got a gift, but blessing and giving and loving and serving and edifying. If you've got a gift, it's to bless somebody else with. It's not a show. Amen?
Amen.
But let it happen. Different kinds of gifts. God gives gifts. How many know God's a giving God?
Yes.
He's a giving God. For God so loved that He
gave.
God loves a cheerful giver. You understand the Bible says a hilarious giver. He wants us all to be like Him. He loves giving and He wants us to love giving. And He says, therefore, with that giving spirit, let all things be done unto edifying. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Let, allow, all things. Don't limit it. Don't limit what God can do today. Let it all be done. Obey Him. Do it. Unto edifying. For the blessing of His body. Watch the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Out of the New American Standard. Now there are varieties of gifts with the same Spirit. Varieties of ministries. And the same Lord. There are varieties of effects. Look at this. King James says operations. The Greek literally means energizings. There are varieties of energizings, but the same God who works in all persons. All right. There are three distinct supernatural giftings. And the Greek is the word charisma or charismata. There are motivation gifts, manifestation gifts, and ministry gifts of the Spirit. Let's go on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the work of miracles, to another prophecy, another discerning of spirits, another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. All right, let's break this down, and I'm going to give you a perspective on gifts of the Spirit this morning. Varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Watch this. There are three different kinds. There are revelation gifts, and we understand those to be the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. We'll be teaching on these things. There are power gifts, healings, miracles, faith. There are prophetic gifts, unknown tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. So, revelation, power, and prophetic. Varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. We spoke last week about the apostle. We'll speak some more in the coming weeks. But fivefold ministry gifts, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Those are His gifts He bestows. And remember, as we talk about these people, the gifts are them, not just what they do. They are the gifts to the body of Christ. Look at me and say, Pastor Kev, you're a gift to me. Just had to see if you were still with me. You're a gift to me, I'm a gift to you. That's the way the body of Christ functions. But the Lord is the head of the church, and He sets these into the church for His purposes, for function, to help mature grace, love, make beautiful the body of Christ. There are varieties of effects, operations, or energizings, but the same God who works in all things. Watch. There are prophecy, serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, showing of mercy, according to Romans chapter 12. These are motivational gifts that energize someone to serve in their function or in their office. And God gives gifts to each of us, and each of us has something that drives us. He puts it in you at birth, and then when you surrender your life to the Lord, the Holy Spirit activates the gift or gifts. God is interested in His family, His bride, being beautiful. And He set you in it to help that happen. Isn't that cool? How many of you know, you can raise your hand and say with me, Pastor Kevin, I know I have a place in the body of Christ. That's why we don't deny gathering together. We want to know that place. We want to serve that place. We want to bless our brother and sister. When I come to church, I've got something to give. How about you? We've got something to give away because God has invested it in us. And by the praise, the grace of God, you need me, I need you. We get together, we have a party. Because we have something to do and give. The gifts of the Spirit. An overarching theme of the body being blessed, not hurting, but love. The gifts of the Spirit. Can you understand that the contrast between what the body of Christ is to be and the spirit of the world is huge? Do you hear this kind of talking about everybody just wanting to love each other and bless each other in a real, genuine, I stick through with covenant relationship with you in the world? Surrounded by people all around us who need Jesus and His body. Now I want to talk for a moment about what's happened in the last 100 years. The last 100 years, there have been several outpourings of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. I want to zero in on one. Just for a few moments. 1902 to 1907, the Azusa Street Revival is how it became known. There was a huge transformational moving of the Spirit of God that happened. People came from all around the world to Azusa Street in L.A. and California and were baptized in the Spirit with the resulting sign of speaking in tongues, and healings and miracles began to flow, and they carried the river of God. O river of God, flow out through me. Carried around the earth. The Pentecostal churches were birthed pretty much right around this time. And it was a restoration of what had always been in the body of Christ. Tongues, interpretation, and prophecy flowed. Some revelation gifts flowed. Words of wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits, and some power gifts, healings, and miracles, faith. I mean, you know, and then the 1948 revival, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You can take a look in your books and your history about people like John G. Lake and Spokane, Washington, and William Branham. And I know there were some problems with some of these people, but there was a huge move of the Spirit. People loved to mock Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts was mightily used of God in some of these days. Now, I'm not defending all of this theology. I'm just telling you, God used people. A.A. Allen. Thousands of people around the world came to Christ through his ministry. The man ended up being a drunkard and dying a broken man in a hotel room. But God used the vessel. Over time, Pentecostal congregations gave little room for the latter two gifts of the charismata. Healings and miracles and the gifts of the Spirit. And now, in a lot of those churches, you're looked at askance if you speak in tongues. And those were the churches where the revival birthed. As things decreased, God raised up a new wind of the Spirit, the late 60s. The pneuma. The Spirit of God moved like a wind, like a rushing, mighty wind. And it was known as the charismatic movement, the Jesus people movement, Jesus freaks. My hair was longer then. But the moving of the Spirit happened in rushing, mighty wind, and denominational barriers fell down. And it didn't matter if you were Lutheran or Presbyterian. How many remember those days? Man, it didn't matter what your background was. The Pope had a real support for the charismatic movement, and huge Catholic charismatic movement. And things were encouraged in the gifts of the Spirit. And then people began to retreat back into their boxes. We got the best control on the Holy Spirit, don't you know? And pretty soon the Holy Spirit said, I'm sorry, I'm not playing that game. And things died down. I'm here to tell you, the wind of the Spirit is blowing again. The wind of the Spirit of God is blowing again, and God wants to move. Not just Grandpa's Buick, but God wants to move today. And He's looking for a body of people who will say, yes, use me. Yes, move in me. Yes, flow through me. Yes, move, low river of God, flow in me, flow through me, flow out through me. I want you, oh Holy Spirit, move in my life. How many want that in their lives? Oh God, I'm looking for a fresh move of the Spirit today. We need revival, but not just people getting saved. They'll get saved because there's a movement of the Spirit of God in the earth today. Oh God, move by your Spirit. God's moving. Stirring, changing. And there is a desire to see the gifts of the Spirit free to flow again. Now, I want to say a very powerful statement. Some people say, oh, watch out. Look out for the excess. Would you please read this next sentence with me? We need to be far less worried about excess than absence. Read it one more time with me. We need to be far less worried about excess than absence. I would rather not be a testimony to a former move of God, but I'd rather be alive now with a present moving of the Spirit of God today in His earth. Oh God. Move. So God's telios, the Greek word, telios, His purpose, is a body holding fast to the head, loving, edifying, built up, strengthened, looking just like Him, that then reaches out and brings as many people as possible to Jesus. How many know one of the things we are called to do is make it hard for people to go to hell? Church has been going through so much attack in this hour and in this day. There's no question the gifts of the Spirit are needed for exhortation, and comfort and edification. We're hungry for your presence, Lord. I'm just going to expose you to a theological argument about which you need to be aware that impacts all of this. Because there are some people who don't believe the Bible says this. There's an argument called cessationism. And it's contrasted by continuationism. Say cessationism. Continuationism. One ceases, the other continues. I'm not going to cover it in depth, but to give you an exposure, because you need to be aware of it. Cessationists believe that the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit, such as tongues, prophecy, and healing, ceased being practiced early on in church history. They believe the miraculous gifts were just given for the foundation of the church during the time between the coming of the Spirit of God on Pentecost and the fulfillment of God's purposes in history. usually identified, they identify it as either the last book of the New Testament being written or the death of the last apostle. There are four types of cessationists, concentric, classical, full, and consistent. I'm not even going to bother to go into them all. But the bottom line is, all of this is not for today. Some believe God can do a couple of things, but even he better be careful. They quote Ephesians 2, verse 20, that the church is built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, and then once that church foundation is built, they weren't needed anymore. They argue that from the closing of the canon of Scripture, the gifts of prophecy and knowledge are no longer needed. They're rendered useless, since no new knowledge from God is necessary. Also, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is, drum roll please, knowledge, thank you, Pat, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come. Say that with me, please, verse 10. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Perfect. Telios. Complete. They say, incredibly, as far as I'm concerned, that there's no new scientific evidence or no scientific objective reference to the working of miracles that has occurred in the church in the last 19 centuries. We heard about a couple of miracles just even today. They say that which has been stated belongs to cults and mystics. However, church, somebody say amen. God is alive and well and still moving today.
Amen.
Watch this. Romans 11, verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are, in the King James, without repentance. That literally means are irrevocable. Watch. The charismata, the charisma, the gifts, is that Greek word, are not revoked. Continuationists hold to a consistent perspective on perfect. The word perfect in the Bible refers to maturity or completeness. Who is the perfect? Who is the perfect?
Jesus.
Turn to each other and say, he's really leaning over. It must be important. Jesus himself is the perfect. We're not complete yet, but he's completing us. Aren't you glad, church?
Amen.
Prophecy and tongues will cease when Jesus returns. Then the partial will be done away. We'll see him face to face. You don't need the gift of the Spirit in exercise when you're beholding him face to face. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 7 through 8. So that you are not, and this is, by the way, Paul is telling us the gifts continue until Jesus comes, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, does that say you can't have any of those things, and God knows it, and those gifts were around for about 50 years, so they're... That's not exactly theologically sound what I just said, but you know what I mean. All right, waiting for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am not trying to produce division with our brethren. We love and fellowship with people right where they're at. There are people who love Jesus, and they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Do you know what? I don't go up and cram the gifts of the Spirit down their throat. I love them and talk all about how great Jesus is. But this is a huge issue about which you need to know. So you're strengthened in your faith and in present truth. We need His Spirit to help us fulfill the Great Commission. Acts 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the what? Into the earth. This is for all of us. Now, let me just... This is really cool. I like things like this. Let me just finish with one final argument from the cessationists. And there's a lot more. And I'm not trying to belittle them. I'm simply saying I am a continuationist. I believe God is present, alive, and moving today and wants to. Listen, I spent a lot of years in a background where the Holy Spirit was simply words on a page. My life didn't change one bit. When I got genuinely saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, my whole life changed, and I really fell in love with Jesus. That doesn't make me better than it says, I've received a gift and you can too. Let's all run after Jesus because His gifts are great. Watch this. They say in Acts chapter 2, and you've heard it, you may have even quoted it. I want to just alter it one little bit this morning. In Acts chapter 2, the cessationists will say the only reason the early church spoke in tongues when the baptism of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost was to share the gospel, because they shared the gospel in their known languages. The Bible talks about tongues of men and angels. The Bible simply records in Acts chapter 2, those who were from different locations heard. But what does it say they heard? It said they heard about the mighty works or the wonderful works of God in their own languages. It wasn't a preaching of the gospel to them. It was a declaration, just like tongues is today, of the mighty works of God, how glorious and how wonderful He is and how much He should be praised. It took Peter to stand up and preach the gospel to them. It wasn't tongues that preached the gospel to them. Peter preached the gospel, and thousands got saved. They worked hand in hand. And that's how the gifts of the Spirit are to be used anyway. Hand in hand with edification, strength, wonderful blessings so that people are reached and they know the love of God. Not as a bludgeon, not as a tool to hurt, not as something to divide, but to share and shine the love of Jesus. I think that's a fantastic distinction. They declared, just like today, the mighty works of the Lord. It wasn't just for the preaching of the gospel. By the way, when the gifts of the Spirit flow and miracles happen, you know what the Lord does with that, don't you? He uses all of that to open hearts and make people tender so they are ready and receptive to receive the gospel and give their life to Jesus. All right, Pastor Kev, what do we do with all this? What do we do with all this? Let me give you a real practical conclusion. It's a four-letter word. P-R-A-Y. Pray. Pray that God will use you. Pray that God will move on you, move through you. Pray that God will speak to you. Pray that God will pour out revival and stir up hungry hearts. I urge you to step into the gifts of the Spirit. Thank you for those of you who stepped forward into the gifts of the Spirit and the congregation this morning. Didn't we hear edifying things? That's what the Spirit of God says He will do. The Bible says in Luke 11, verses 19 through 13, I'm going to read it backwards, 9 through 13, how much more the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Pray. Reach out to your neighbors, invite them to church, and share Jesus with them. And let's, while there's still time, help lead people to Jesus. And one final point. As you're praying, one of the reasons you pray is to stir up the gift of God within you. 2 Timothy 1:6, therefore I remind you to stir up, literally in the Greek says, re-enkindle the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Elaine, would you come? I went to Alaska the summer after my sophomore year in college. And I did a variety of things in Alaska. I worked very hard, made good money, and couldn't wait to get out of there. Mosquitoes the size of armadillos we had to put a blanket in the windows to go to sleep at night. And I worked the cleanup crew, which meant after everybody else, after the fish ran, I worked another 2 hours beyond them in order to get every single little scale off the stainless steel and conveyor belts, because it would ruin the belts if the scales stayed. And so I was working, when the fish were running, I was working 21, 22, 23 hours a day. So you learned how during a break to go sit over in the corner and sleep for 15 minutes, get up and go again. It was great. I look back on it. Wow, what a guy. That was cool. One of the jobs I had was to work with the king salmon. And that particular year, they were fantastic. They were huge. You got to hardly pick them up. They were huge. But one of the things we had to do is we would get up this great big white plastic bucket. We had these spray things of hot water, and we'd fill it with water while our friend was pouring in this salt brine kind of a substance. And once the water was full, you had to grab a rod really quickly and stir. And I'm not just talking a light stir. Because if you were going like this, your back hurt, your arms hurt, after a while it was like this. It became like cement. So I learned, with the help of a real encouragement, do it better than that. You've got to go faster now. Okay. Man, it's sweat pouring down. It's the only way to keep it from getting hard. Keep it stirred up. We'd pour that into a sink, and we'd put the big fish through it, and we'd put them up on these trays and slide them into freezers. I'll never forget it. But what I'll never forget was you gotta stir and stir and stir and keep on stirring. And sometimes we get discouraged. And we stop stirring. And sometimes we say, I don't know if it's worth it. Difficulties happen. Problems happen. Kids happen. Marriages happen. Economies turn sour. And we say, I don't know. Is this really worth it? And I hear the words of Paul the Apostle ringing, saying, come on, Kev. Come on, buddy. Stir up the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Stir it up. Don't give up. Because I'm going to move. When, Lord? Kev, that's for me to know. You just keep stirring. Yesterday, please, my arms are getting tired. Just keep stirring. Stir it up. Spiritual gifts are from God. And we're an anemic church without them. We want Jesus here. We want the Holy Spirit to move here. And here. Amen? Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for the moving of your Spirit. We thank you for the richness of your Word. We thank you that we want to be what you want us to be. We want to be candidates for the moving of your Spirit. Don't leave us out, Lord. Move. We're continuationists. We believe you're still alive and well. Now bless each person who's come here this day. Let there be fresh encouragement in their hearts and in their spirits to know that you're right here with them. Even through the midst of any storm, you're right here. Lord, we commit ourselves to continue to stir. Stir up the gifts. To be available. To be obedient. Moved by your Spirit, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name. Pastor Carl?
For those who've been learning to be obedient in the gifts, I'd like to do just a little bit of a, not a post-mortem, but a post-zoa, an evaluation of the gifts this morning, and a clarification. There were three different streams. The first two gifts were born directly out of worship, very definitely in the flow of the Spirit that we were in at exactly that time. Now, the Word of God says the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I knew that the Word that I had was definitely not in that same stream. But I also knew that I was to give it. Alan's Word was not exactly in that same stream. But I want you to see that the three are one.
Yeah, they are. That's true. There was a unity.
You see, the first two were in the flow of worship, which I already said. Mine couldn't have been a more appropriate summary of the message.
It's true.
We are to be expressions of the Holy Spirit of the living God himself,
right,
because Christ is in us. And Alan tied it all back together with Pastor Sherry's opening, which was God's faithfulness in keeping covenant.
You bet.
And so we can see, even though we need to be discerning and evaluate, if we look for that which is good. See, too many people judge looking for that which is not good.
Right, that's right.
But if we will judge or discern looking for that which is good, we can see that even though things don't seem to be in exactly the same flow, if we look at the big picture, they are. So those of you who have been studying this and are beginning to be faithful and moving out, be edified this morning.